Welcome to this message from Shofar Christian Church. May you experience God's grace as you listen to this word being preached.
So this afternoon I've got a word on my heart. Tell someone next to you, there's a word coming your way. I've been wrestling with this word a couple of weeks now. Just the Lord dropped something in my heart, the scripture from Revelation chapter 1. Oh, by the way, who's visiting us for the very first time here this afternoon? I see, Karin, there's a couple of visitors visiting us. I know Karina's visiting us. I met her earlier, but the rest of you guys, I think you came in just when we started, but so welcome. So just, we'd really like to give you a welcome pack. It's so wonderful to have so many visitors. You guys are blessed. And you're committed to come to church at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. That's super commitment. We know it's not the most comfortable and convenient time, but we are so blessed by you being here. Amen. So let's just give them a nice warm welcome again. And I really want to ask you guys, please don't leave straight after the service. We've got amazing coffee here, Johan. So just through here, someone will show you that's been here. It's just through into the main hall, right? First one left, and there's a nice fellowship area where we can have coffee, and there's information there. There's like stuff to fellowship over, and you've got a rusk there, so you can dip your rusk in your nice filter coffee that you're gonna get the first time visitors. The rest of you, get yourself some coffee and fellowship. Please don't leave. We really want to spend time with each other after church. Amen. After our celebration, because just remember, this is not called church. It's called a celebration gathering. We have to celebrate life together. Amen. Who's excited about life together with Jesus? And Jesus hasn't called us just to be on our own with Him, but to be with others. There's such a blessing in in fellowshipping together, and edifying one another, encouraging one another. That's why the body is here. So welcome to all of you. Please fill in the card as well. We'd love to get your details. We'd love to contact you, invite you to a connect group in the week. And yeah, if you can come this Wednesday, come to the connect groups. Are actually coming here, most of them on Wednesday, so please come here if you can. And then from the week after, you can get into a connect group, which meets every week. And that's what we do. We fellowship on a Sunday, and during the week we try to do life together as much as possible. Amen. So in Revelation chapter 1, and welcome to those of us who are joining us via Facebook. We're good to have you. It's great to have you. Yeah, some people have been in contact with people with COVID cases, so they've been good. They said to me they're not coming to church, they're staying away. So well done. I'm glad for that. If you guys have been in contact with people, please do be wise. Don't walk in fear, but let's keep the masks on. Let's distance while we're at church in fellowship. Let's not get too close. There is a virus going around still, by the way, in case you thought it's gone. It is still real, and it's still a bit of a killer. Some people, at least not the young people, but let's not get too casual about it, okay? So let's keep our masks on, let's social distance, let's sanitize before you come to church, all of that, okay? Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 to 6, John writes to the seven churches which are in Asia. And he says, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. John writes here, and he writes this letter from Jesus, or from the heart of God. He writes this letter as a revelation of who Jesus really is. And so he starts and he says, I want to tell you about this amazing God. I want to extend grace and peace to you from this guy who was and is and who is to come. This amazing God who has come down to earth in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. And guess what? He's coming back again. Isn't that good news? Jesus has come, but he's also coming back again. He says, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn, the ruler over the kings of the earth. So he describes God, he describes the Holy Spirit, because it says from the seven spirits, representing the Holy Spirit, and then from Jesus Christ, this Trinity, this God who's three in one. He says, this God is a God who loved you and washed you from your sins in his own blood. Isn't that amazing? Who has been loved here by God? Who has been washed from their sins in the blood of Jesus? All of us, eh? And he says, from this God, grace and peace to you. And this God is a God who's loved us and washed us from our sins and has made us kings and priests to him. And I want to look at this side of God. There's two sides of Jesus himself. Two sides of God. And it's the same coin. It's like one coin. You guys know what money looks like. I didn't bring a coin with me, okay? But anyone who's got a coin in your pocket, wallet now, then give it, yeah? Okay, no, any joking, you can keep it. You have to give it to the offering bag. But take out that coin and look at that coin. You see there's one side and another side, right? If you think of a coin in your mind, there's two sides to every coin, right? You all agree with me. And the same with this God that we serve. This God has got two sides to him. Jesus has got two sides to him. And he wants to make us, he wants to show us both sides of who he is. And it's called a king and a priest. And he says, when we grow up into Christ, and our, for those of you visiting us, that's why this grow is up here. It's our discipleship strategy. Gather, relate, obey, and witness. Okay, I'm not going to share about that too much, but if you journey with us, you'll see what the G means. It means to gather to Christ. R is relating to people, loving people. The O is obeying the Spirit and witness to the world, the W. We must go out. So we believe God has called us to grow up into Christ. So if we must grow up into Christ, Christ wants to reveal two sides of who he is. The priestly side and the kingly side. So I just want to look at that for a while today, because I believe God wants us, he has made us kings and priests to our God. And in the Bible says here in Revelation, he has made us kings and priests unto him. And sometimes in life as a Christian, we many times tend to do one or the other. We think we're only priests or we're only kings. You know, we think like the priestly people are the people in ministry and the kings are those in business. That's sort of the teaching that goes around. Anyone has heard that before? Like, you know, the kings are the guys who aren't in ministry. They make the money, they finance the kingdom, and then, or in government maybe, and then the priests are those in full-time ministry. And to a degree, people in full-time ministry do fulfill more a priestly role, and maybe in government and in business, people fulfill more a kingly role. But God doesn't want us to box him in and say only people in the ministry are priests and the rest are kings, or the rest don't even know what they are. They're neither priests nor kings, or they're a little bit of this, a little bit of that. God hasn't called us to be one or the other. He's called us to be both kings and priests unto him. Amen. So I want to look at what does that mean? What is the kingly side of Jesus? What is the priestly side of Jesus? And some of us, personality-wise and gift-wise, we tend maybe to be more priestly, and others tend to be maybe more kingly. Okay, so and that's not wrong, but I believe God doesn't say some people have been called to be kings and some have been called to be more priests. He says He's called us to be both kings and priests unto him. Some other translation call it a kingdom of priests, but there are definitely two sides. That I trust that Jesus will reveal himself to you today. Two sides of who he is. And if we're growing up into him, if our purpose is to grow up into Christ, then we should grow up into this aspect and both of these aspects of him. In Revelation 5, it says the following. It says, and they sang a new song saying, you're worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Saying the same thing almost as Revelation 1 says. And this scripture here, specifically the 24 elders that are falling down before the throne. John sees this vision. These elders are bowing before the Lord, worshipping him. And they say the following. They're saying, for you have made us kings and priests to our God. Confirming again what John wrote. And then he says, or these elders say the following, and we shall reign on the earth. We shall reign on the earth. I believe God has called us to reign on this earth. Not only in this earth, but definitely one day. But many think we're only going to reign one day, but we're not only going to reign one day, we're going to reign on this earth right now. And I believe God is calling us to be both priests and kings unto him. And sometimes I think We think we're only supposed to be priests, and God says we're a kingdom of priests. We're supposed to take authority. How many of you sometimes feel like a godly anger building up in you against unrighteousness, against sin, against anyone experienced that? And then you think, oh shucks, I mustn't get angry, you know, you almost condemn yourself for taking a stand like that. And that's the kingly side of you coming up sometimes saying, you know, oh, something must be done about this. You can't stay, you can't keep quiet, you can't just say, oh, let's all be nice now. And that's that kingly side of Jesus, and we look at that now. But I want you to grow in this. I want you to realize God is calling you for more than to be just a nice person and a nice Christian. God has called us to be both priests and kings. So let's look at Jesus the priest. Now, I got a lot of this stuff from a guy called Dutch Sheets. Anyone heard of a prophetic intercessor called Dutch Sheets? Anyone read his book? It's called Intercessory Prayer. If you can do yourself a favor, if you want to grow in intercession and in prayer, read the book by Dutch Sheets called Intercessory Prayer. And he's recently done an amazing teaching on this, that God has called us to be both priests and kings unto him. So yes, Jesus the priest. Jesus the priest is Savior. Anyone know Jesus as Savior? Yes, we all do. We know him as our Savior. He's the one who came to stand in the gap for us. He's our advocate, our intercessor, the great high priest, the Bible says. He's the only one who's the great high priest. He went right into the Holy of Holies to unlock and disarm principalities and powers and unlock heaven for us. On the other side, Jesus the King, he is Lord. And sometimes we only know Jesus as Savior, but we don't know him as Lord. And that's why it's important to know him as both Savior and Lord. In other words, he saved you from your sins, but he's calling you to be Lord. He's calling you to submit unto him because he's Lord of your life. And he's also the one who judges. Jesus the priest is the lamb. Jesus the king is the lion. On the one hand, you've got him as your shepherd, your friend, and your groom. You know, the one who's coming to. We had an amazing wedding yesterday. Taze and Emil got married, and it was just such a beautiful time in the Lord's presence. And there you could see this groom waiting for his bride, and that's going to be Jesus one day, the groom who can't wait to be with us as his church, becoming one with him. But you see, on the one hand, we can know Jesus as our shepherd and our friend and our groom, but on the other hand, we need to know Jesus as our commander and our master. He's demanding obedience from us. Amen. And if we only know Jesus on the one side, then we're going to miss half of who he is. So on the one side, he's the Son of Man. On the other side, he's the Son of God. On the one side, Jesus is our Savior and Jesus saves. But on the other hand, Jesus rules and reigns. Jesus the priest represents the goodness of God, the grace of God. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, Jesus came full of grace and truth. And on the other side, it represents the severity of God, the truth of God. So you've got the goodness of God on the one side, you've got the severity of God on the other side. There's a fear of God that must come into our lives sometimes. But sometimes we just want to know Jesus as the priest, but we need to know him as the king. And guess what the good news is? Jesus has come as the priest. Jesus came to save us. He came to love us and wash us with his blood. But guess what? He's coming back as the king. He's not coming back with mercy. He's coming back with judgment. And let's look at that now. So the priestly roles. On the left, you've got family, relationships. And I've seen this tension in church many times. I've seen this tension where some people, all they want to focus on is family, relationships, love, love, love. Yes, God is love. But on the other side, there's a government, there's an army, there's a battle to be won, there's a purpose to pursue. Amen. There's an assignment to do. So on the one hand, the priestly role is you have rights and privileges. When we're part of a church and a family and we're part of the kingdom of God, there's a lot of rights and privileges. We are blessed to be part of the kingdom. Amen. Aren't you blessed to be part of this church? Aren't you blessed just to be a son of God, a child of God? And we can have relationships, and there's so many rights and privileges, and sometimes we need to thank God for our rights and privileges. But on the other hand, the kingly roles are, we have responsibilities in the kingdom of God. So we have rights and privileges. So it's not one or the other, but there is a tension between these two. And then if we don't understand the fullness of who Jesus is, we get offended with God. Because we don't understand his kingly side. We don't understand the governmental side, the army side. God is a family man, he's a father, but he's also raising up an army. Have you ever heard of that? And there's a tension sometimes between these two, but it's the same Christ, it's the same Lord, it's the same God. He's not divided. He just is that same coin. Picture that coin. It's got two sides of who he is. He's one, three in one. And then you have the body of Christ is that represents by the priestly role. That's us, that's the body of Christ. But then guess what? We also have a voice. And the voice must happen out there. In the priestly role, we are known as healers, and there's a lot of compassion and mercy. And on the other hand, we're called to be destroyers, to break down strongholds in the heavenly places. That's who Jesus is. His role is to be a destroyer of strongholds. The priestly roles are often, or the priestly side is referred to sheep and farmers. We plant, we sow, we like farmers. But the kingly roles, there's soldiers and there's judges. Priestly roles are very much more need and care orientated, and that's primarily our role in the church, is to care for people, to be a family, to focus on people's needs and to make sure needs are met. But on the other side, there's a mission and assignment that we have to do. Amen. God has called us to be, let his kingdom come. The priestly roles are ministers of new, we're supposed to be ministers of the new covenant, but the kingly role on that side is we're supposed to be legislators of the kingdom. And if the church doesn't be involved in the world, guess who's going to make the laws? The ungodly people. If we're not involved in the world out there, if we only build church, and I believe God is taking us into a season, friends, of letting the kingdom come out there, not just building church. For each one of us. My main responsibility as a minister, as a full-time pastor, is obviously to focus on the church. But I'm being so challenged because, you know, if I just focus on the church, where is the kingdom coming? You know? Is the kingdom coming out there? We can expect people to come to church, and it is wonderful that we want people to come to church. But God has called us to be function as kings where we must go. Amen. And that's why the priestly side says, come, 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 we'll heal you, we'll get you saved, we'll get you in the kingdom at least, that you can live your life right. But then it's important also to go and be the kings that God has called us to be out there. Does this make sense to you guys? Is this exciting? Is it something that's stirring your heart? Because it's the same Christ. Christ is not divided, but Christ says come, but he also says go. Come, I'll heal you, and I'm going to care for your needs, and we're going to have a nice, awesome times in worship together, but then there's also a time where you need to go. And at the end of tonight, this afternoon, I want to send you guys out, I want to commission you, and that's what we've been doing in the Share Your Faith seminar, saying, let's be kings out there. But let's not only preach the gospel, let's have opportunities to shift things in the spirit. And I know some of you aren't in massively influential positions, but trust the Lord. Trust the Lord to be a leader in your area of influence, whether you're in the medical field, whether you're in, maybe one day some of you can be called into government to literally change the direction of this nation, if that's what God has called you. And to pray at least for the people that have to make the decisions to do it according to God's will, not according to man's will. So the focus of the priestly side of Jesus is for us to gather and worship. The kingly focus is to go on mission and to govern, to rule and reign with Christ. Amen. The priestly focus is about awakening and revival in people's hearts, whereas the kingly focus is societies must change. There must be reformation. On the left, we want to multiply and we want to grow our family. And that is primarily our focus as a church. As we want to grow our family. We want to have our family healthy and strong. And many people come. But then we also need to expand our kingdom influence. And I believe each one of you have been placed in a specific role. Whether it's at school, university, wherever. You've been placed in a focus where you can expand kingdom influence. You can influence people positively for God's kingdom. And that's our focus, to go out. So the priestly side reconciles and unites, versus the kingly focus is to divide and conquer the strategies and the plans of the devil. Not, it's not, the fight is not against people, but we need to divide and conquer the plans of the enemy. The priestly focus is to pray and petition, whereas the kingly focus is to war, decree, bind and loose. Sometimes we pray nice prayers in intercession, and this is where we, when in prayer meetings, we need to have both the priestly and the kingly prayer meeting. Amen. We can't just pray little nice prayers and repent and all of that. There's times when we stand up as the king and we decree in the spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. And some of us have a more tendency towards more priestly prayer, some more kingly, and it's not right or wrong, but we must all grow up into Christ where we can take authority. Sometimes we stand up and we say, no, devil, get out in Jesus' name. And it starts in your own life. We're going to see that now. Priestly focus is about intimacy with God and family. It's a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling, whereas the kingly focus is we need knowledge of God, whereas we need wisdom. We need to have wisdom for decisions to be made. We need to be know what God is saying in that situation. So out of that place of intimacy, you can move out into applying God's ways. I believe it's more than knowledge, it's wisdom. You know, knowledge is applied, sorry, wisdom is applied knowledge. It's knowledge rightly applied. So we need to have wisdom of God's ways. And then priestly focus is about covenant love, whereas kingly focus is about divine strategy. And sometimes we're very good at the left-hand side because the focus is often more on the priestly side. And as churches, we've been bad about equipping you guys for the kingly focus. We're not active out in the world often. We're very good at making church happen. And I'm blessed that church happens because God said He'll build this church. But God also said, my kingdom must come. On the priestly side, angels minister to us. On the kingly side, angels minister with us. The priestly side has a lot of mercy and compassion, but the kingly side has authority and justice. That's that anger that sometimes grows in you when you just want justice to happen, you want righteousness to prevail. Then it's not time to be nice anymore. We come with the power of the Lion of Judah. Priestly focus is about reproduction. It's about multiplying and growing the body of Christ, whereas the kingly focus is about restoration. And ultimately, we want to move from healthy individuals to healthy societies and nations. You see how amazing Jesus is in His fullness. He's not only a priest, but He's also a king. And ultimately, one day when He comes back, He's going to establish the kingdom, and every society and tribe and tongue and nation will be healthy because they'll all worship the Lamb. Because He's not coming back as the Lamb of God. He's coming back as the King, the Lion of Judah who rules and reigns. So I want to say our role as priests must be as follows. Number one, and these roles are the same for both. We need to grow up into Christ's likeness. We need to understand who Jesus is as the priest in our lives, but also the king in our lives. So if you look at our growth strategy, it ties so nicely in because the gather and the relate are more priestly roles. We need to gather to Christ and relate to people. That's sort of more, you know, we come and we experience intimacy with the Lord. Yeah, we worship Him together. We relate to one another in our connect groups, our small groups. We sort of grow in that way. But then there's a time our role as kings is to obey the Spirit, to be see God as our commander, not out of obligation or because we fear Him in that way. Yes, we do fear Him, but we know Him as our Father. He loves us, cares for us. He says, come to me. Have fellowship with one another. And then He says, obey the Spirit. I'm going to give you divine strategy. Obey and witness. Go out and be a witness. Go out and be salt and light. And so the obey the Spirit and the witness to the world are more kingly roles. And that's why it's important not to, when we grow in Christ, we can't just do the G and the R. We must do the O and the W. We must complete the whole cycle. And see Christ as our priest and as our king. Our role as priests are to truly confess and repent of our sin. So we say, God, we're sorry, we confess it, we sort of convicted of our sin. But then on the kingly side, we need to take authority over sin. Amen. So it always starts with a confession and repentance, but then we need to start taking authority. And I remember once in my own life where I struggled with lustful thoughts, and it was even in our marriage. I was struggling with lust. And I was so frustrated like that, and I just stood up one one day and I just decided I'm going to take on this thing in the spirit. I'm going to say, devil, get out of my life. I was so angry with the sin in my life because I said sorry to God. You know, it comes back and back and back. And it's a cycle. And I just stood up one day and I just said, in the name of Jesus, spirit of lust, get out of my life. And I started with a confession and repentance, but then the Lord said to me, stand up and take authority over this thing. And we think God has must take authority for us. We think Jesus must take authority before us, but he says, no, I've called you to be a king and a priest unto God. You need to take authority. And we do it in our deliverance seminar. We're going to have a deliverance seminar soon. Amen. Just like we're having sort of these seminars, God wants to move by His Spirit. We have a specific deliverance seminar called Liberty, or used to call it F4, where we deal with stuff. And in that seminar, you learn there how to take up your authority as a king. And there's a time for confession and repentance, and then there's a time where you say, you stand up and you tell that thing to leave your life. Tell that sin to leave your life. That's the kingly role, and it starts there. We can't take authority out there if we can't even take authority over our own lives. And that's where God is calling us, friends, to start with, is start operating as a priest and a king in your own life, and then God will use you to operate out there. But if we cannot rule over our own sin, so the first thing we need to rule over is the sin in our own lives, and take authority over that which is not from God. So we need to take up our role as priests. Then we need to, the priestly role is to pray for ourselves and others, but the kingly role says, okay, but now you need to take action. Pray and ask God for strategy, ask God for wisdom, but then you need to take action and you need to go and bless someone. If you see someone is sick, pray for them, but then go lay hands on them and command that sickness to leave or whatever. Or go and give them a plate of food because they're hungry. See, we can pray for the poor, but then God says, we're going to feed the poor. That's the kingly role. Taking action by the Spirit. And I want to say this afternoon, it starts on the left-hand side. Let us not go into any action if we haven't first wrestled with God. If we haven't wrestled with the place of the altar. We're doing in our prayer training. I want to encourage you guys also to join us on a Tuesday, 10 o'clock and 7 o'clock on Zoom. We're doing it on Zoom so you can do it in the comfort of your own home. We're doing training on prayer, on how to warfare with Suzette Hutton. And she's exactly speaking about this. It's just, all of this stuff is just confirmed with why God asked me to preach this word or to share this message. Because she talks about the exact same thing. She says, first be at the altar and then be at the porch. And it talks about the altar, it talks about the sacrifice where we come before God, we weep before Him. It's a scripture in Joel, I think it is. Where God says the people are weeping between the porch and the altar, the intercessors. The prayer warriors are weeping between the porch and the altar. And the altar represents the intimacy with God. It represents our quiet times, our prayer times, but then the porch is where we preach, we witness, we're out there. So we need to start on the left-hand side. We need to start as our role as priests, because guess what? God has primarily called us to be priests, but He says you're a kingdom of priests. You're kings and priests. And that's why a lot of translators are unsure about the interpretation of this thing. Is it kings and priests or is it a kingdom of priests? And I don't think we need to worry about that. God has called us to be both kings and priests unto God. We're a kingdom of priests. In other words, we're priests primarily. Why? Because God has called us to serve Him. He's called us to minister to Him. He's called us to worship Him. And Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the ultimate King. None of us can say we're just, you know, we're kings now. We haven't arrived. We're kings under the great King. So it starts with your personal devotion, but then your role as a king is to live Christ out every day. And the more time you spend with Him in the morning or whenever, the more intimate you are with Him, guess what? The more powerful you'll be out there. So intimacy is at the altar, whereas boldness is at the porch. And I believe, friends, God is calling us to have more boldness. I believe we need to move a little bit out of the role of priests only and to be priests and kings. For my own life, I experienced this. I already experienced God saying, I want you to be more bold. I want you to stand up. I want you to speak about me. But it needs to start at the port, at the altar. It needs to start with your intimacy. But we cannot have an excuse and say we're never going to get to the porch, because God will call us. If we have a relationship with Him and growing in Him, then He's going to send us out into the world. Just yesterday at that wedding, I just experienced God just giving me a new boldness to preach the gospel again. I looked on they streamed the message on Facebook, and I think there were 1,500 views of their wedding. And God gave me such a boldness to make an altar call. I said, let's close our eyes and let's commit our lives to the Lord again. I don't know who committed their life to the Lord. Maybe someone for the first time, maybe. But I just realized God is calling us to be bold, to preach the gospel again. So every wedding for me is an opportunity, because there might be someone, very often many people, that don't know Jesus and His power and His love. I want to have the same for you. But you know, it's not only about preaching, guys. I really want to encourage those of you who are influential in your workplaces or your student life, wherever, just go and be the salt and the light. I mean, preaching might be the last thing you do, because we can't preach and we're doing nothing. But position yourself, have influence somewhere in life. Even if it's over one person, have influence and lead that person closer to Christ through good works and through the gospel. And I realize with our Share Our Faith seminar, we are so limited, because we're not even talking about activation or about activism, sorry. We're not even talking about how to get into government, how to get into changing the law. And there's guys that are doing amazing work out there. We're so good at just preaching the gospel, and that's not only... It's the most powerful, and it's the foundation, but it shouldn't be the only thing we do to witness. We must be witnesses. We must live it out. We must start to build relationships that people can see, shucks, I want to live this life. I want to live a godly and a holy life. So I'm not talking about shouting from the rooftops, turn or burn, repent and be saved. That will, some people will be called, will be the Peter that preaches and 3,000 get saved. But let's live out the life of our role as kings and as priests. There's a scripture that just came up to me this week in intercession on Tuesday. I was reading the scripture. It was talking about building up yourselves in the Holy Spirit. It says here, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. But listen to this, because I read the scripture often, and it's all about gymming, you know, going to the spiritual gym, praying in the Spirit. But then listen to what it says here. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And then verse 22 is amazing. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. But on others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. There is that role again, the priestly role. On some have compassion, but on some, save with fear. Pulling them out of the fire, hating the garment, hating the sin. And I believe, guys, if we're going to walk in Christ-likeness, sometimes we have to challenge people. In love, but we need to say, stop your sin now. Stop your nonsense. Especially when you have influence in that person's life. In fact, only when you have influence. Don't do it with anyone. They're not going to receive from you. But some people, we have to literally... They need to be saved out of fire. We need to tell them the fear of God and the truth of God. Because grace sometimes is like overly focused on, overly emphasized. Because people are scared of the truth. People want to stay away from the truth. People want to stay away from confrontation. But on some, the Bible says, you need to save them through the fear of God, through the truth of God, through the severity of God. Romans 11 says, behold both the love and both the goodness and the severity of God. Sometimes we behold more the goodness of God, and we forget that God is a God of war. God is a God who hates sin. He cannot tolerate sin. He loves all people, but he wants to separate sin from people. And Jesus Christ came full of grace, but he also came full of truth. So on some we have to have compassion, but on others we have to save with fear. The Bible says you need to build yourselves up on your most holy faith. And I believe the key to this is the power of the Holy Spirit. Knowing when to operate in that power, knowing when to operate with compassion. So I want to end with this. If the band can just come forward, we're going to just sing one last song, or just devote ourselves to the Lord and respond to this word. I always think I'm going to preach shorter than, I just so love preaching that I always preach long. It always feels so short. It could go on forever. The Word of God is amazing, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a royal priesthood. You are a royal priesthood. A holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Guys, we're a royal priesthood. We're a kingdom of priests. We're kings and priests. However you want to say it, we need both sides of Jesus Christ. We need his priestly side more than ever before, but we need his kingly side. And I believe some people here, you need to start to stand up as a king in your own life. Amen. I believe for many of you, you've been faithful as a priest, and God is saying you need to stand up as a king, but you're going to take authority over the sin in your own life. You're going to take authority over the unbelief, of the fear, of the poor stewardship, of the poor time management, over whatever is bothering you. You're going to stand up as a king and say, Lord, enough. And then you don't speak to God anymore. You see, when you're a king, you speak to the world. When you're a priest, you speak to God. Isn't that amazing? And sometimes we want to speak to God about our sin, and we need to do that, but there's a time when you need to say, God, give me the power, now I'm going to speak to the sin in my life. It's like a dog. You know, when a dog messes on your lawn, what are you going to let that dog, you're going to just let that dog in and say, oh, come poo on my lawn there, and it's all nice. You're going to throw the biggest stone or the biggest thing at that dog and say, get off my lawn. Stop doing that on my lawn. Stop messing on my lawn. You're going to put up a fence, and you're going to put up boundaries, and you're going to say, enough, no more. Devil, stop messing on my lawn. Stop messing on my life. So that's what I want you to do this afternoon before we have some nice fellowship. It's just to take up that authority as a priest in your own life. So let's all stand now. Family, I really believe God is calling you to be kings and priests out there. But it starts in your own heart. It starts where you're at right now.